Thank you for joining us. We are in a series where we're talking about peace, and this is piece number two. We're going to specifically today look at the fact that peace is not a place or a situation, and then we want to talk about where true peace comes from. So thank you again for joining us. Let's get right to it. We're going to, of course, look at the Bible because we know God's Word always says something good. It never lies, and it always performs the thing He sends it to do. So we know His Word alone can bring life, can bring peace. So let's get right to it. Hey, last time we talked in piece number one, we talked a lot about the definition of peace, and I don't want to give you the whole definition again, but let's just take a few words that show us what peace is and what it isn't. The synonyms and the antonyms. The antonyms for peace, just some of them today. There's words like conflict, discord, strife, trouble, turmoil, unrest, upheaval, fighting, stress, tension, desperation, nervousness, fear, torment, upset, doubt, foreboding, anxiety, apprehension, worry, pandemonium, unquietness, uproar, dissension. Those were some of the opposites of peace, and we looked at many of those the last time we spoke, and it was obvious why people look for peace, not those. Some synonyms for peace are these: peacefulness, calmness, heart ease, serenity, tranquility, harmony, quiet, order, stability, safety, prosperity, security, freedom from all those other things that are opposite of peace. So peace is definitely something that people want, that they desire, that they strive for. Often people spend a lifetime looking for peace and are unable to find it. True peace does not come from a place or a situation. True peace is something that comes within the heart. Now, let me explain that for a little bit by a picture. When you think of peace, maybe you have a picture in your mind of what true peace is, and often online or different places, we'll see a picture of a cabin in the mountains, a little stream running through. There's usually a deer or there's something there, and it looks so peaceful, and we think to ourselves, boy, if I could live there, that would be peaceful. But are you sure about that? Think about it for a minute. That same picture of the cabin in the mountains looks so wonderful, and the artist has captured a moment of peace. But to live there, think about this for a minute. How are you going to cook? Where are you going to get your groceries from? Where will you get food? Now, okay, maybe you're going to trap or hunt. Anybody who's trapped or hunted before, that's not really super peaceful, right? If you're snaring animals, you know, you got to choke them until they die. You get the picture. So somehow you're going to have to get food. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'll be a vegetarian. It's in the mountains. There's probably going to be about 9 months of winter with everything frozen. I don't think that's going to work. You will likely be a popsicle for a bear after a couple months. You get the picture. Not so peaceful. But we see the picture and we think, oh, that must be wonderful. But when we get down to it, to live there would probably be quite difficult. How are you going to stay warm? As we mentioned, probably 9 months of winter in some of our mountainous areas here in Alberta. What about the snow? In the Banff Mountain areas, they average about 100 inches of snowfall per year. That's over 8 feet. How are you going to get around? What if you get sick? The amount of firewood you would need to keep that little cabin warm is a few cords of wood. Are you going to use an axe to get that? Are you going to work hard and get it all in before the snow, during the snow? Maybe you're going to use a chainsaw. Where are you going to get your gas? Interestingly, often the pictures of the peaceful place will have animals looking perfectly at peace. But animals aren't always peaceful. In this mountainous area where this cabin is, there's likely to be bears, cougars, ants, ticks, maybe even a Bigfoot. Okay, maybe not. But you understand what I'm saying. To live there may not be the image of peace you think it is. Sometimes people's idea of peace is actually a fairy tale. Listen, a pumpkin is not going to turn into a coach to take you to the ball. A handsome prince is not going to suddenly save you from all your problems. How many people have left a marriage relationship thinking the handsome prince is the next guy or the next girl is my princess that I've been looking for? A fairy tale idea of what peace and marriage should look like. Hey, it's time to wake up to reality. True peace is not a place, it is not a situation, it is not a wealthy, good-looking person to save you from your trouble. True peace, the true peace that we desire and are looking for, is an internal peace, and it is an eternal peace, and it comes from only one source. His name is Jesus, and he is called the Prince of Peace. So I want to take a few minutes today and look at this Prince of Peace. And this, my friend, is not a fairy tale. This prince has the answer. But no, he's not going to rescue you from all your troubles by swooping up in his arms and taking you to his palace. It's a true story. It's real. This Prince of Peace, named Jesus, the Son of God, who came to this earth for you and I, is truly the one who can bring us peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 is prophetic of when Jesus would come. And it says this: unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now that is peace. Jesus was called the Prince of Peace. Think about when he came as a baby, and we're told that angels came and told the shepherds, this day there's a Savior been born, the Son of David, in the town of Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2, we read in verse 13, it says that all at once a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and goodwill or good hope given to the sons of men, to people. The very praise that they were singing was that peace has finally come. Peace has been given. Because peace is not a situation. Peace is not a place. Peace is something that we need in our heart. Peace is something we need deep inside. And Jesus, the Son of God, was sent to bring that. The very gospel or good news of Jesus Christ is called the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6 and verse 15 says that very clearly. In John 16 and verse 33, we read this. It's Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says to them, he says, everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrow. But you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. Here is Jesus telling his followers, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to leave you with peace. And then he says, you will have some trouble and sorrow in the world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, the peace he gives is not determined by what the world's doing. The peace that Christ gives is not determined by what's going on around you, but by what's going on in you. His peace is internal, and it is eternal. The peace that Christ gives, what does it look like and who is it for? In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, we read this again prophetic about what Jesus would do. And it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. You see, peace has everything to do with you, with me. Peace is something we can possess no matter what. Luke 4 and verse 18 clearly shows us the purpose of Christ when he came to this earth. And it shows us that the peace that he was going to give covered all areas of life. Jesus, reading out of the book of Isaiah, speaking and declaring that this was him and what he was for, says this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The very anointing the Spirit upon Christ was for that purpose, to set people free, to heal, to bring good news to the poor. He was going to bring peace like no other. As we see in this verse that we just read in Luke 4:18, Christ clearly showing his purpose, one of the points in there that I see that is so important is where he says that he is sent to heal the brokenhearted. Do you know that someone who's brokenhearted does not ever have peace? Because that heart, that real person who they are, the internal being of who we are, is what the word heart means in Scripture. If that is broken, peace cannot come. But Jesus was sent to heal that. And you know, maybe you're listening to this today, and I say the word brokenhearted and you feel it. I want to tell you this, Christ can heal that broken heart. He can make you feel a sense of wholeness and purpose in who you are once again. He is the answer. And we're going to pray before we're done this video here today. And I just want you, just know Christ loves you. He's going to answer. He's going to heal that brokenness. When we think of the peace that Jesus brought, we think of the many stories of how he healed and set people free. And there's so many in Scripture. There's so many from Scripture beyond. I can think of stories where God has brought peace and healing to people. But one of the stories from Scripture that stands out to me as we think of this idea of peace, it's Mark chapter 5. And verse 25 to 34. And when we read this story, Jesus was going all over the place. It says he was doing good. He was healing those who asked. And a leader came and asked him to come to his house because his daughter was sick and dying. And Jesus said, sure, I'll come with you. And as they're going, there's a great crowd of people. And it says in verse 25 of Mark chapter 5, it says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, it says, and it says that she had spent everything she had to try to be healed, but yet she was worse. And she had heard about Jesus and the miracles he had done, and it says that she said within herself, if I can just touch his robe, the hem of his garment, I will be healed. What happened? She began to have faith to believe that he had the answer for her healing. Now, her healing was something the doctors couldn't fix. It was something internal. It needed a miracle. And she said, I believe Jesus can bring that miracle. In other words, he could bring peace to the storm in her life. Her life was a storm of continually going after doctors and looking for answers and spending all her money. She was at the end of it with no answer and no peace. She did the right thing by believing in Jesus. She took a risk and she went into the middle of that crowd. She pressed through and she grabbed a hold of his garment. And when she got a hold of his garment, immediately she felt a healing in her body and her flow had stopped. She knew immediately she was healed. And the neat thing is, Jesus also knew that somebody had believed and was now healed. Jesus paid the price for you and I to have peace, to have healing, and yet he asks us to believe for it. He asks us to just simply reach out for it. His peace is available. It's already paid for. In John 14 and verse 27, we read this. It's Jesus talking and he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Jesus, when leaving his followers, was telling them clearly, I'm going to leave you with peace. Serving Christ, being a Christian, is where peace can come from. It is a free gift, a gift that was paid for and is available to anybody who wants it, who will believe for it. I want to talk just for a minute to those who maybe have had nothing to do with Christianity, or maybe you've had a really bad experience. Maybe somebody you knew was a Christian and they cheated you or they lied to you. Listen, that's not Christ. That's a follower of his who's made mistakes. That's a follower of his who's messed up. That isn't him. And unfortunately, people mess up. And yes, Christians mess up. Christians do things they shouldn't. But don't let that skew your view or judgment of who he is. He is the Prince of Peace. He is your answer. And if today you're struggling internally with no peace, if you're struggling with a broken heart, you do not have that peace, and you've never asked Christ to come into your life, I want to give you that opportunity before we finish. And I'm going to pray with you. I'm just going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me because it's a gift. All it says you need to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and it's yours. And when we finish this, I want to pray specifically to some heart issues. I want to pray specifically for some peace to come in certain areas. So those of you, if you've never asked Christ in your heart, I want you to do it now with me. Let's pray. Repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you paid the price for my healing. I believe you rose again. I ask you now, forgive me for all my sin. I give you my life. Make me new. Heal my heart. Bring me peace. Amen. If you prayed that today and you meant that in your heart, you have been given the gift of eternal peace. You're now made right with the Father. You can know that when you pass from this life, you'll enter into a place called heaven with Jesus. You have peace that now passes understanding. If you accepted Christ today, you want to leave us a comment, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to go to our website and get a hold of us, we'd love to connect with you and encourage you further. But hey, before I finish today, I want to speak to the lack of peace in a couple of areas and just really pray into it. Right now, there's a lot of the opposite of peace, conflict, frustration, sickness, people unsure of the economy, and we want to speak to that. I want to just declare and pray in a sense for our leaders right now. And so, Lord, I just do that. I speak for our political leaders. here in Alberta, in our country, Canada. Lord, we speak wisdom, we speak strength, and Lord, we ask that they would lead well in this season. Every hindrance, every false voice that would speak to them, we say that it will disappear. Let there be truth, let there be righteousness in our leaders. We thank you, Lord, that as we honor you, you will honor our province, you will honor our country. Lord, we look forward to the blessing that you bring. We look forward to the peace that only you can give. Hey, I want you to know that God brings peace to political leaders. God brings peace to businesses. God brings peace to relationships. I know I have to speak to relationships right now. If there is a huge lack of peace in your relationship, I want to speak to it right now. Listen, if in your mind you have a fairy tale imagination of what a peaceful marriage would be like, it's probably just that, a fairy tale. But peace can come when peace is first in you. So let me speak to both husbands and wives right now. I say peace in your hearts, peace to your relationship. We just command every bit of division, every bit of anger and frustration, leave. Let there be peace. Lord, we speak to the heart where there's deep anger. We speak to that heart and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. There's somebody watching, you have anger that is unbelievable. There's been times where you've actually felt like if you didn't control yourself, you would do somebody in. That's not okay. That's anger that needs healed. Receive the healing for it right now. That person who's feeling that, I just want you to go like this. Just turn your hand like this. When I say receive it right now, you don't even have to say this out loud. Just say in your mind, I receive it. So receive it right now. If you want it, say that, I receive it. God's healed your heart of anger. Did you know that many people who struggle with deep anger issues is from brokenness that happened many years ago? Often when they were a child. God doesn't want you to walk with that. He wants to give you internal peace like never before. I just felt that there's a young person watching today, a kid, age range, I'm not really sure, but not too little, but there's a kid watching right now, and you're thinking, well, is this just for like adults and couples? This is for anybody who's desiring peace. And as you were watching, you were thinking, well, I have anger. I've even had these dreams where I do something really, really bad. God wants to heal you right now. Put your hand like this and say, Lord, I receive your healing. Lord, I receive your healing. Go ahead, put it like that right on your heart. You know, sometimes we do these little actions just because I know that God touches lives. And by faith, sometimes we need to put some action to it. God's healed that heart. It's okay if you feel like crying. I'd sense that right there, right now, that young person knowing anger's been taken. You can forgive whoever hurts you. You don't have to hold it. It's not yours to hold. It's definitely not your fault. God loves you so much. Hey, everybody who's watching today, I just want to say it again. We love you. God loves you more than you can imagine. And again, thank you for joining us. If you feel these videos have helped, go ahead, subscribe, like, share them with others. God has always, always got something good prepared for us. So be blessed, and we'll see you next time.